Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Thanks to Jenny for getting our mood with that takeover. We are excited about all the day's sports news, as you can probably tell. It's Thursday, the 28th of May, and this is Game On.
Keep the tune going. Coming up today, the Premier League is back, and we'll hear all about it and have much more detail.
Donegal middleweight Jason Quigley on Eddie Hearn's summer plans for him. Eamon Fennell gives us the GAA club players view as president. John Horan hints at an earlier return. And Jeff Shepherd on some glamorous neutral venues for sports on the way back.
You can text us on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM, and we'd love to hear from you, Marie. It got really busy in the last few hours, didn't it? Golf, soccer, it's all back.
Oh, it's great, Donegal. It's one of the best days of my life.
I was having a nice, leisurely day, sunning myself out in Cork, and then all of a sudden, boom, it just got really busy with sport, didn't it?
Well, it actually started really well, because I know you were watching it and I was watching it. We had rugby league at 10:30 this morning.
I could have cried. It was brilliant. And I know we're all worried about contact sports, but this was contact sports at a whole new level, wasn't it? It just was so physical and... like we were wondering in other sports, you know, being able to hear the players, but hearing the collision noises, hearing the physicality, I just thought the way the refs communicate with the players, calling them by first names, you know, Stephen, don't do it. I said, it's brilliant. You're actually in the thick of the action. And I know the NRL or Fox Sport are getting a bit of a tough time for maybe the canned audience noise. But how do you feel about it?
I loved it. Same.
It was brilliant.
I'm so glad you said that.
Someone would make a break and all you'd hear is... And you're like, yes, we're back.
I was trying to figure out, like, there must be somebody pressing... there must be loads of different sounds and they must be pressing the right one, like, you know, when they're attacking or, you know, when it's a lull and they need a lift.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
the tries were scored, like, the reaction from the players, you could tell they were kind of reacting to the noise. It was great.
So the game today was the Brisbane Broncos versus the Parramatta Eels. And it's a brilliant weekend of loads of NRL rugby, which is massive in Australia. I don't think we give it the credit. Rugby league is way more received in Australia than it would be in Union. But just to watch a game, Marie, was great. And, you know, it was priceless. All the social distancing. They broke every rule by the time they left the dressing room. They were hugging. They were slapping each other. So it's good watch for the weekend.
I think what they've done with them is that they are considering them a family unit, so they have been isolating. So they are, when I saw the dressing room scenes at the start, my eyebrows kind of raised because there was no holding back. I mean, they were getting straight into all their warm-up drills. There was loads of contact. But upon further investigation, they have been kind of living together and cocooning together, and they've been doing their screening and their testing. So it just shows it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done. I must say, the first 40 minutes, I've never seen a more physical game. So, if this is a barometer of what's to come, and I do think they knew the eyeballs were on them. Even the commentators themselves were going on about the Asian market, the USA market, that everyone's looking in now and they know they have people watching. It's a showcase for the game, and they certainly stepped up. The one concern for me, a bit like the Bundesliga, is home advantage is gone. The Broncos, playing in brilliant Suncorp Stadium, play their brilliant venue, but when you don't have a home crowd, they lost 34-6. So I think we're seeing home advantage. COVID is, seeing it off.
You know the way we always hear stories about how teams try to do things to get an edge when a team comes to visit, and before it was watering the grass too much or raising the goals just a tiny little bit. They're going to be doing stuff with the crowd noise. They're just going to play it when the ball is in their half or when they're in possession.
But I wonder, will it go the other way? Would you actually prefer now to play at a kind of, you know, a mutual venue that, you know, there's no advantage to anyone? Because you're right, when it is your home stadium, you're used to having that advantage, the intimidating crowd. But for the Brisbane Broncos, they certainly didn't have it today. I had to change the names around today. It was the Unicorns versus Slytherin. just to keep my kids interested.
The names were good.
Yeah.
If you were picking a team and you wanted to go with the just by name, there was good options there today with the Broncos and the Eels. I thought the whole broadcast was quite interesting as well. Like, they focused so much on the play. There wasn't really that many crowd shots because obviously there's no crowd. So it was just interesting to see the way it was directed and the pictures that they had picked. And I'd say when we do start seeing more sport coming back, we'll probably see something similar. The cameras will be on the ball and the players an awful lot more than it ever was before.
And I think there's loads of chat about rugby changing the laws and the rules. I think we need to start looking to league. League's been a professional game for much longer than rugby union, and they've just nailed certain things. The ball and play time is through the roof, and I know they're asking about, you know, resetting scrums, but they should look at other things that just, you know, the TMO took no time. So there was an ad for popcorn chicken, and then there was like a 10 second ad for a bucket of popcorn chicken, and then boom, there you're away. It was there, like, why can't we do that instead of 85 angles and ruining the game? It's just they've no time for replays, and everything goes on report. They deal with it afterwards. I just think it's a great watch. If you're missing out on a bit of physicality, you can vent watching it.
Would you have been any good at rugby league?
No. And actually, it's the worry for me with rugby union, with all the talk of actually losing the scrum. And we've chatted about this. I've chatted to Don Lennon about it. Second rows are the position that you would lose, and everyone will probably end up the same size. You lose the likes of Tadhg Furlongs, Peter Stringers, John Hayes, Devon Toners playing on the same pitch. You would just get a group of kind of back rows that looks like Sean O'Brien's, David Wallace's. That's the type of athlete you could. So we need to keep the scrum in rugby, but we just need to tidy it up an awful lot more.
That's very interesting. It's a conversation we should have when we have more time and there's less news, because there's lots of it. And there's some golf news. It looks like the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open will take place after all this year. There was a lot of concerns with the COVID-19 when so many of our big sporting events were falling in front of our eyes over the last few months. But there's been a bit of good news today. The Chief Executive of Golf's European Tour, Keith Pelly, has said that the tour are looking at 3 or 4 date options for the event at Mount Juliet, which would be absolutely brilliant. He said that it is critical and very much part of their plans, which is brilliant news to get today, because they did announce that this afternoon that the tour will resume on the 22nd of July, and they didn't have the Irish Open in it. Now, they said that they could have had it in, but it wouldn't have been 100%, so they're holding off to see. So great news for golf.
Super news as well. And Ruby and Damien were chatting to Shane Lowry, and Shane Lowry mentioned that was the one that would bring him home. That's the one he's interested in. So we can play that back now as soon as it's announced and say, looking forward to seeing you, Shane, and bring the lads.
Oh, brilliant. That's it.
But it's important, isn't it? For Mount Juliet, even for Ireland, just that lift. I know we mightn't have supporters there, but I actually think when it comes to golf, we can showcase our country, can't we? Like, show the beauty of the place and have everyone over. You know, they mightn't be able to travel for a bit yet, but thinking, yeah, I've a granny
golf
there.
Golf on TV is lovely as well. I like golf on TV. You get to see all the beautiful courses. So I'd say absolutely bring it on. And there's J News as well. Well, kind of J News. There was J comments that have a lot of people talking about it. The J president, John Horne, today suggested that a relaxation of the current 2 metre social distancing guidelines could influence the GA's proposed return date. So we've been speaking about it so much over the last while. John Horne had suggested that there would be no GA while social distancing is in place. But he seems to be rowing back a little bit on that. Now, they are saying, of course, that they're going to be extremely cautious and wary of looking too far ahead as they prepare to outline the roadmap to reopen the club grounds and to get everything going. But with the conversations that we've been having, the government have been having, and all the health authorities have been having about relaxing the 2 metre distance, and it could mean that the J might come back a little bit sooner than we had thought, but we don't know yet. John Horne did speak today to GA.ie, and he said that the action would return when it is safe to do so.
And I fully understand that there's a huge frustration out there, and you can see articles in the media where people are pushing to actually go back. But if you actually take into account what the government have said, the government guideline pushes out to a date of the 20th of July. We have never pushed beyond that date. As I said in a previous interview, if we can bring that forward, we will bring it forward, but we will only do it in a prudent manner and a manner that's safe for our membership. And, you know, I do sympathise as well. Like, there's parts of Ireland where, the outbreaks of the COVID-19 virus is very, very low, and people may well feel feel safe there. But overall, it's an across the association. We have to stay in this together. And the big challenges are probably more in urban areas. And I understand that. And I do get a feel for the frustration. And people are contacting me about that frustration. But, you know, we have to make the safe and prudent decisions going forward. I do understand the frustration. And I understand the challenges in clubs throughout the country, too, from a financial point of view. But, look, we're looking at this. We're doing our best. And, you know, I'm not going to come out here and make populist false promises about anything we can or cannot do for clubs. But we are aware of it all, and we will do the best we can, and we will drive on and hopefully stay together in this challenge. We will get back. We will get back. It's the timing of it has to be appropriate for everybody's safe well-being. And when that comes around, yeah, I'd be happy to say, yeah, we're back and let's get on with it. But, you know, there's no talking about we won't be back until there's a vaccine, and there's no talking about we won't be back until social distancing is acceptable. But as long as social distancing is the priority at 2 metres, that is a big hurdle for us to bring back contact sport.
Now, that is GAA President John Horne speaking to GAA.ie earlier on today. And RTÉ's Damien Lawler joins us on the line now. Damien, sum up for us there what John Horne is suggesting could happen over the next weeks and months.
Yes, Marie. Well, two words stand out for me there. 2 metres. John Horne specifically referenced the 2 metre distance in place. And he referenced that as being the big hurdle and possibly bringing resumption closer if there was any reduction in that. Currently, Tony Hoolan, the Chief Medical Officer, Marie, said he wouldn't be recommending a reduction for that for Ireland. But there's been political pressure from around the place because the World Health Organization recommends a distance of at least 1 metre. And even with talks of kids going back to school, the 2 metre barrier is a big issue. So my reading of this today is if there's a change on that 2 metre, you know, the game is on again. There's a chance of stuff happening this season. And John Horne was on the Sunday game, made a kind of a State of the Union address that went down very well in many quarters a few weeks ago. There was no mention of 2 metres in that discussion. And equally today, he's mentioning the fact that there's no talking about we won't be going back until there is a vaccine. And there's no mention then of the social distancing was brought in on a 2 metre thing today. So that's the hook from his comments today, Marie. And that's why people are starting to look into this now a little bit and say, OK, if the 2 metre gap is reduced, does that change the landscape?
Damien, how would it affect the landscape? Because it's still contact. You know, like when you play a hurling, football, camogie, the players are going to be closer than a metre.
Is it,
you know, it's a little backpedal in a way by John Horne?
Well, I think it's certainly not pinning the GAA into a corner. So I'd say the modus operandi for this being referenced today is it gives them room for manoeuvre now. So if they had to say, we are not going back while social distancing is in play, if it was removed from 2 metres downwards, Dunica, they were still tied to what they said. But now there's a direct reference to this today. So I'd say it's more the fact that he referenced it today. As you say, I mean, there's still going to be contact anyway. But if medical experts say that 1 metre is acceptable, well, then maybe you can look at bringing contact sports in. But I think he said that the 2 metre thing was the big hurdle. Now, he'll have to come out and probably clarify further on that, I would imagine, in the coming days or weeks or whatever. But there's an air of positivity about the place. There's no doubt about that. And there's an air of positivity, in my view, that wasn't there last week. A few days have changed a lot. It's all depending on the R rate, the reproduction rate of this transmission of COVID-19. It's dropped down from 0.6 to 0.4. My sources say to me that if it can continue to be at that low level and drop even further and be contained in the communities, well, then serious discussions are going to take place about activity coming back into clubs. But at the moment, that 2 metre gap is still in place. The government still have a 5 kilometre restriction in boundaries, and the GAA are saying there's no way they're going to open club gates while that is in place, certainly for training pods. I think the next landmark we're going to have will be from June the 8th, clubs, I think, will be allowed to apply for walkways to be utilised at designated times. So it's a phase-by-phase approach, but there's definitely more positivity coming out in the last 3 or 4 days than there has been in quite some time.
Was John Horne under a little bit of pressure to come out and maybe clarify his remarks on the Sunday game from a couple of weeks ago, or to expand on them a little bit more?
I would say, Marie, that it's been quite a while from that Sunday game interview until those comments today. So I would say if there was pressure to come out, and I mean, a lot of people felt he delivered a really, really impressive address. Other people felt it took away the hope quite a bit. But I think the prevailing feeling was that clarity, and it was the first time that anybody had given clarity from a sporting context. However, in recent weeks, and you've seen it yourself on your own show, there's been a clamour. An absolute clamour for gates to be opened up, for pitches to be opened, for training pods. And we're now seeing it since last Monday. Club and county teams are maybe meeting in clutches of four and doing maybe training sessions on public parks or courses. So there is a momentum there too that from the Return to Sport expert group set up by Sport Ireland, you can see the FAI and IRFU, for example, publicly going ahead with their plans, outlining their testing protocols, playing behind closed doors, the IRFU outlining a roadmap in August. So yeah, I would say as an association, there's definitely outside forces coming in to play here. Whether they're being listened to or not, I couldn't tell you. But I know that basically the general feeling now from administration level is it's a fluid situation. It's changing day by day. If the progress was to continue, they would have to look at things again. And I think crucially, all counties have been asked to put forward a template in order to explain how they will get their championships up and running again. And most of them have put in a 6-week to 8-week championship, two venues picked out, obviously no crowds allowed in for the moment, security at the gates if needs be. Streaming has been discussed, although the rights holders will have something to say about that. So there are kind of templates being put out by county boards back to Croke Park, telling them this is where we're at if we get the green light. So a lot of work is taking place, Marie. There's no doubt about that.
Okay, well, the club aspect is very interesting because I think upon hearing conversations like this and reading your article on RTE.ie, there'll be lots of club teams now gearing up, Damien. They could be quite hopeful that it'll come back sooner rather than later, and we'll be chatting to Eamon Fennell about that later on in the show. Thanks so much for joining us, Damien.
Okay, guys.
We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back to talk Premier League, and I'm so excited.
It's coming home.
Okay, the Premier League season is set to return on the 17th of June with Aston Villa versus Sheffield United and Man City versus Arsenal. And to talk us through it, we're delighted to be joined by Fergal Brennan. Fergal, how are you?
Very good, very good. Finally, we've got some news to work with.
There we go.
We're a small bit excited here, just a tiny bit.
Fergal, it just shows what we've actually managed to do over the last while is quite impressive.
Indeed, indeed. We've been waiting for this announcement for so long, and now that it's finally been confirmed in the last hour or so, it kind of seems surreal. There's been a flood of information today. As you say, June 17th has now been confirmed as the return date. Those two games have been picked, not for any special reason. Manchester City and Aston Villa played in the League Cup final, so they have a game in hand alongside Arsenal and Sheffield United. So the hope from the Premier League is that by that weekend, the 19th and the 21st, it'll be a level playing field, 11 games to go for everybody, and the season restarts from there. Obviously, behind closed doors, and the Premier League have been very clear that all health guidelines need to be followed, and there's still the potential that if there is a change in legislation and guidelines from the government. But as things stand, this is the biggest step there's been in 3 months, and short of something significant change in the swing of the mood here, this looks to be all set to go from that weekend.
So what date should Liverpool win the league in at then?
Well, I know you're going to be thinking about that and you're going to be marking that in your diary, but before Liverpool likely get their hands on the trophy, there's the small matter of the Merseyside derby. Now, the Premier League have said that that's down as one of the first games that weekend, but anything that's been classified as a high-profile fixture, which includes that, could be moved to a neutral venue. So the talk of Championship grounds being used or St George's Park, which is the England national team training base. But to answer your question in short and sweet terms, I don't see this being any more than the 6 points that Liverpool need. I think this could be a case of 3 weeks, maybe the 1st of July. Sorry, Marie, pop that in your diary. That probably will be the one for when you can start celebrating.
Fergal, just on it, Man City and Arsenal. So, like, it could even be at that Merseyside derby. What a way for Liverpool to win it! You know, a big game, you know, to kick it all back off.
Exactly, yeah. And this was the fear, I think, from the Premier League's point of view, that they wanted to make a bit of a statement in terms of the first game back, but without... I don't think there was ever going to be the danger that it was going to be Liverpool. They want the football to have moved on a little bit more and people to have been a bit more used to the return before Liverpool likely lift the trophy. So, yeah, as you say, the match could make it come a little bit further. It could be closer. We could be done and dusted before June is finished. But I still think Manchester City are going to make Liverpool work for every inch of this, even if it is an inevitability. I think Liverpool are going to have to wait just a little bit longer. I know Marie won't be happy. I know millions of Liverpool fans all around the world won't be happy, but they might just have to wait that little bit longer. They've waited 3.5 months. I think they can squeeze a few more weeks.
Fergal, earlier today, Troy Deeney ruffled, I think, a few feathers on Merseyside. He claimed the integrity of Liverpool's league win is gone. We're just going to hear the clip and then we're going to chat to you about it.
I believe personally that when it comes to the integrity of this season anyway, it's already gone. I feel sorry for Liverpool because no matter how it plays out, they deserve to win the league, they deserve to get the trophy, but no matter how it plays out, even if we play all the games, it's still going to be the year, spoke about the pandemic, it's not going to be that year that Liverpool win the league, being the best team, and no way you can say that this is a viable competition now. It's like running a marathon, like, I don't know, 20 odd miles, stopping for 2 months and then sprinting the last bit and going, oh, that was a good time now.
Fergal, what do you think?
I think the bit that's going to irk Liverpool fans there is the viable competition comment. I think everything else that he says is pretty par for the course. Obviously, we all know that when the season is over, the Champions League, Europa League, if the European Championships had gone ahead this summer, that there would always be a little asterisk next to it. I think this idea of it being a viable competition isn't really relevant from what Dean is saying. I think if Liverpool go on to win the league, yes, there will always be a little footnote, a little note on Wikipedia for years to come. But in terms of it being viable or kind of less of a league, I think that is dealing Liverpool a really, really rough hand. He's admitted there himself, and everybody has admitted that Liverpool do deserve to win it. They've been the best team. They've been excellent this season. Yes, there will always be, as I say, that little note next to it. But to call it not viable, I think, is a bit harsh. And Deeney's obviously been quite a key figure in conversations with the Premier League. He's been quite outspoken on his views about returning to training. I agree with him personally. I think his misgivings about the safety protocols being in place, and obviously his child who's asthmatic, he's brought that up to say that, you know, as we all look at these situations, we have to decide what's best to do in those situations. But I think in terms of this, you know, it's nice to see that a little bit of banter and a little bit of, you know, digging in the ribs still exists, even during lockdown, between Premier League players and teams, because he's had some fun with Liverpool over the last couple of years. He was brilliant against them just before the lockdown when that long unbeaten run broke. But yeah, there will always be a little note against Liverpool's name on this league title, but to take it away and say that it's not worth any other league title, I think is quite unfair.
Yeah, Fergal, Liverpool aside, title champions, hopefully Marie's case, what else is up for grabs?
There's still plenty to go. Obviously, so much of the talk has surrounded Liverpool and the inevitability of them ticking off the title, but there's still a lot of things to be chased up. Top four, Europa League, and obviously relegation. Manchester United, Chelsea is likely to be the showdown for the top four. That could have the real makings of something exciting for the final month, particularly if the title is already over. Chelsea were excellent at the start of the season. They started to go off the boil slightly before the league was suspended, and United started to come into form. Solskjaer's under pressure to get Champions League football at Old Trafford next season. That's definitely one to watch. And then down at the bottom, obviously there's been a lot of talk of clubs who are in the relegation zone not wanting the season to restart, which again I think has been a little bit unfair. I think no clubs didn't want the season to restart for that matter. I think it's still the public health argument of they wanted to wait until it was appropriate to get football back underway again. But there's still a lot to play for. For me, Norwich are done and dusted, but there's two other places. And with this break that's happened, players are going to come back refreshed. They're going to come back with something to play for. There's probably five or six teams, Brighton, Bournemouth, Aston Villa, West Ham, Southampton could potentially even get dragged into it. And relegation is always such an exciting thing in the last couple of weeks of the season, and we probably know who's won the league title. So we have to kind of get our excitement from other areas of the league in the next few weeks and months. And I think that top four spot and who stays in the Premier League will be the exciting ones to keep an eye out for.
Absolutely. Fergal, thanks so much for joining us. The 17th of June, we're counting down the days.
We're gonna no problem.
Take a quick break.
FM. Game on 2FM.
Now, the summer of sport that we had hoped for may have evaporated, but there is still lots to look forward to. And one of those events, all going to plan, could be Jason Quigley taking on Jack Cullen, potentially in Eddie Hearn's back garden. But who knows? Anywhere sounds good to me. Jason, how are you?
I'm not so bad. How are things? Hope you're well.
We're great. You're a Liverpool fan. Let's start with that. Are you excited?
Oh, Jesus, best news I've heard all year. That's what it was.
It feels like it's all coming back. So you could be fighting around the time that they are lifting the Premier League trophy. That wouldn't be a bad weekend.
I think I'm going to have to get my fight gear done out in the red and white Liverpool colours for this fight. So I am.
It sounds great. Jason, so where are things right now with you and your next fight?
Well, things are now, as they stand, you know, there's a lot of stuff going out in the media now that Eddie Hearn is running shows in his back garden over a consecutive 4 weekends. So the plans was for me to fight on the Dillian White and Katie Taylor undercard on May 2nd in Manchester in the MAN Arena. And now that card is still going to be going ahead, but in the backyard of Eddie Hearn's house. So that's the plan. That's the way it's going to go if everything gets the green light and the approval. And that's looking like early August and Eddie Hearn's backyard, yeah.
Jason, it's an incredible card. I'd say for you, you couldn't care if it was in his front room. You just want to get in front of Jack Cullen.
I couldn't care if it was in my own backyard. without a doubt. Like, you know, it would be amazing and it would be great if me and Katie were on the same card and we could have a lot of Irish fans there. You know, that would have been very special. But, you know, we're dealt with this now, and the whole thing about the whole pandemic and COVID-19, like, nobody can control this. Nobody has been through this before. We don't know how to get over the far side of it. Nobody has been through it before and lived to tell the tale, like, you know. So we're coming out of this here now with such a positive look on things, with sport getting back up and going, and what better way now to kick it all off than being on the same card as Katie and Dillian White. And that more than likely will be pay-per-view on Sky as well, I would say.
So what are you at right now? Like, are you at home? Where are you training? What are you doing? Are you in camp? Just paint a picture for us of what life looks like right now for you, Jason.
Yeah, it's. I think a lot of boxers is going to find this lockdown beneficial, or, you know, something that's very familiar to them, because it's kind of like a training camp. We can't go anywhere. We can't really do nothing but train. So for me, I just be getting up every day, going about my day, training, and the best thing about it for me is I'm doing it all in the comfort of my own home, you know what I mean? I'm going out for my runs around my local areas up here in the hills of Donegal and things like that there. So it's great in terms of that there. When you're finished training on a training camp, you usually coming home to a room on your own, or, you know, something like that. There's a lot more isolated and a lot more locked down and things like that. So for me, I'm actually really enjoying this moment. It's the first time probably in a long time in my boxing career that I've had such stability, because the boxing calendar can be pretty hectic and mad and crazy, because one minute there's fights on, next minute there's no fights. You're away here on training camp, you're flying here for fights. Whereas this stage, this last month, 2 months, I've just been really in a one-type routine, chilling at home, getting out every day, doing my training, and coming back to the house again, which is great for me. It's different, and I'm really enjoying it.
Jason, do you feel it's grounded you a bit more in terms of, like, reattaching you where you're from, a proud Donegal man, reattaching you to represent Ireland, you know, going away from the amateur side of it, but now into pro, that, yeah, you know, the, representing the country is important?
100%. You know, I think that this this whole lockdown and everything like that shows us that we don't need all these extravagant things to love. We don't need the busy lifestyles. We don't need the hecticness in our life to get by. I think this has really helped everyone pause, realize as well. I think if people do take this pause right and really look deep down into themselves, they'll see what they enjoyed doing whenever they got the opportunity to do it and what kind of took up a lot of time in their life that had no real purpose. You know, they were doing it maybe for other people, to please other people and for different reasons. Whereas this whole time now, I think, has shown us that we can really sit back, relax, listen to ourselves, see what we love and like to do ourselves just for our own well-being and our own mental and physical health. And there's nothing going to be better than Irish sports and Irish fans to get the momentum, to get the positivity, to get the confidence back up in everyone again, because like we're well known all over the world for the support and the excitement and the atmosphere that we can bring. So, you know, Irish people now going out, and the likes of myself, you know, I'm going to be flying that flag very high and, you know, getting the spirits and getting the hopes of everyone back up there again.
So when they do confirm your exact date, will you leave home then, Jason, like when restrictions are lifted? Or do you think you're in a place now where you can prepare as well as you need to at home?
Yeah, you see, it's for boxing, it's like you can, if you have a gym and you, if you have the equipment and everything like that there, you can get all the training and you can get all the hard work in. But for boxers, for us to get fight fit and for us to get that fight sharpness back into us, we need top quality sparring. And that's where the difficult part of training and training camps come in for boxing, because sometimes we need to travel for that, or we can fly our sparring partners in. But for me now, I have a great base up in Dublin with Andy Lee. And once everything is kind of lifted, we're going to get back into work up there, and we'll be putting the head down, working hard, and getting ready to go over and light up Eddie Hearn's back garden.
Sounds great. I actually can't wait. So how have you been keeping in touch with Andy? Is it Zoom or what have you been doing?
Yeah, we've been in touch. You know, we've been in touch a good few times a week, and Andy be sending up the strength programs, things like that there. I be doing my bag work and different things, and I send him the videos, and he looks at the videos and gives back his opinions and his instructions and things like that there. But, you know, I think the things that we've been working on from day one, we're obviously been working on them and, you know, tweaking little things, putting in that's going to improve my game, that's going to improve my performances. And then just all the simple things, just staying in touch. And it can be difficult, like, because, you know, as anybody knows, even if you're not a sports person, like if you're just trying to lose weight or if you're trying to reach a goal, you need that goal to do it. Whereas if you've no light at the end of the tunnel or you've nowhere to aim towards, it's difficult to get up every day and to work your ass off for that. So, you know, it can be difficult. And I think the key thing is, for me anyway, and I think other people can use this, is just taking it one day at a time. Just waking up one day, like the weather that we're getting now is absolutely unbelievable. I've been seeing parts of Donegal in my 5 kilometer radius that I never even knew was there before. Like, there's just woods around the corner from me. There's fields and houses that I've never seen before when I'd be out running. It's crazy the kind of stuff that you can see whenever you just start exploring a little bit.
I imagine, Jason, when they do give you the date, that it'll come around very quickly, because really the Premier League return has come around quickly when you look back over the last few months. So it's going to be a really different situation in Eddie Hearn's back garden. It's going to be something that you've probably never experienced before. No fans in a situation like that. How do you think it'll affect you?
Yeah, it'll be an experience, you know. It'll be something to look back on in your career and say, geez, I remember fighting in Eddie's back garden. Like, you know, it's going to be a great experience. I think it's going to be something a lot different. And the thing is too, that no other fighter has been through this either. Like, no other fighter is going to be coming in here with an advantage, saying that I've done this before, I've experienced this before. So everybody's going to be on a similar playing field. And I'm looking forward to it, because I watched the UFC fights that were on maybe like a few weeks ago, and I was so excited to watch that, to see how it would all go. Like, and you know, the entrances, you know, people walking in all hyped up with the music, and you turn around and there's no one to wave to. There's no one to put your hand up to.
A bit of piped music, would you take that?
Exactly.
Piped fans?
100%. But the funniest thing was, what I noticed whenever they were in the octagon was, in between the rounds, the coaches would go over to the fighter and start talking, giving instructions and everything like that. But they were like whispering to each other, so the other corner couldn't hear, because there was nobody else really in the arena, so you could hear a pin drop, really. Yeah. But you know, we're gonna be encountering things that we haven't encountered before in these situations. But you know, you take it all with a pinch of salt, and you get in there and you enjoy it and you give it your all.
Absolutely. Jason, you might be in Eddie Hearn's back garden, but the whole country will be behind you. Thanks so much for joining us on Game On.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, and take care and enjoy the good weather.
Thanks, Jason.
All of you.
2FM. Game on 2FM.
Now, there have been plenty of conversations about the return of the GAA, but very few of them have featured the voice of the club player. So we are delighted to be joined now by Eamon Fennell of St Vincent's, and of course All-Ireland winner with Dublin as well. Eamon, how are the club players holding up?
Yeah, all good, Maria, I suppose. Like, we're all on programmes, both individual and collective. And for someone who's a bit more age like me, it's a good time to press reset and actually get a bit of time and fixing all the old injuries that are there.
Bit of good news today, I think, from John Horan, that we're now definitely looking at the guidelines, and if the social distance gets reduced a bit, then maybe the pitches might open and we might see a return to play. And if it does happen, and when it does happen, it'll be club before county. And Eamon, you've been involved in both, you know how the inner workings of both setups. Do you think it's the right call to have the club come back first?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's going to be tough no matter what way it comes back. If it was county first, it was still going to have people questioning the decision. But from a club point of view, like, I think the communities, people want to get back into the pitches, back into the GAA club. Now, in what shape or form, I don't know. But from my point of view, like, we all just want to get back playing as players, but we're training away, but we kind of want to have something to aim for, you know. And I think that's the big piece of all this. We're just kind of all ticking along, and it's Groundhog Day to have something.
Like, Eamon, I think with Dublin Club as well, like, you know, it is of such a high standard, and there is a huge amount that goes into it. So the fact that you don't have something to aim for, and everybody knows how much club players all over the country put in, but that is really hard. And motivation, you must struggle with it.
Yes and no. Like, you're my motivating factor now at the age of 35 is a lot different than when I was 25. And like, even the programs that we're all doing now, there's the younger lads are all getting out and they're able to train during the day and use that time, where like, I'm still working, my wife's still working, we have a kid at home, and like, my time to train and what I can do in training is totally different. So I think from my point of view, yes, I want to get back playing club football, but I want to do it when I'm able to do it. And that's like, one, with the risk of catching the infection, but two, also when my body's ready. Because when I think, when you look at the NFL, when the players were on lockdown themselves a few years ago, there was about 50 injuries when they came back in the first week. And even in the Bundesliga, I think there were 17 injuries in the first few matches back. Like, you know, so like, I'm obviously going to be a high risk just of injury with my age and with my background with injuries, and the fact that I haven't been able to do the work that we need to be doing as a collective. So, you know, that's going to be challenging in its own right as well.
Eamon, do you think that's a good stepping stone, so for the inter-county player, that he can come back and play maybe in the less pressure of the club, where, you know, he can get his body right, ready to go, and then into the inter-county season?
Yeah, I do. Like, as you said, like, the pressures from an inter-county point of view, they're very demanding. And I know the guys are still training away, and they're all, again, on individual and collective programs. But getting back into that setup, and just the hype and hysteria that will be around it, even though it will be known in the stadium, just the streaming aspect of it, if it is broadcasted live, like, that comes with a whole heap of pressures as well, and there's going to be so many eyes on it. I think the right approach is to ease the inter-county players back through the club scene, get them match ready, build their confidence a bit, and then bring them back into the county.
Eamon, I'd say now if it was a knockout club championship and you had one game and you lost it and you were gone, you'd be under a bit of pressure too.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, timelines depending. I don't know when that will happen, but like for me, having that date though, you know, once you know really that that's coming, you can kind of tell your approach, you can tell your diet, your training, whatever you need to do. But it's just the fact that we're now kind of training away, and if it gets switched on in 2 or 3 weeks time, I don't think there'll be enough players ready to actually get back onto the pitch and play to the level that they need to, from an inter-county point of view. So that's why I think the club scene would be the best way to go.
Eamon, do you feel sometimes the GA gets held to a different type of account? Like, there's no soccer pitches open, there's no rugby pitches, other type of facilities aren't open, but yet everyone's pressing on the GA, who are doing incredible work in the kind of volunteer side of stuff. We've seen clubs and, you know, really embrace, just for myself, Parky Quay being used for COVID testing. No one has reached out more, but yet, you know, we press the GA more than anyone.
Yeah, and I don't know what that is. Like, if it is the community element where people just want to get back out and meet people in the community rather than traveling the length of the breadth of the country, I think that's more of a realistic option for people, and that's why they're kind of more drawn to the GAA. And even stuff like the club camps, the kill camps, I've read a crazy figure there that, so like, that's grown exponentially over the last few years, and kids want to get out and they want to see their friends. Like, I'm looking out at the green now and there's a lot of kids running around wearing county jerseys and club jerseys, which is great to see, but I'm sure they all want to get back as well, seeing their friends and playing hurling, soccer, Gaelic, rugby, whatever it is. So
I think one of the reasons a lot of people put pressure on the GAA is that in urban areas you have parks, so you can go to your public park and there's goals and you can play around. But in the rural areas, sometimes the only pitch or the only bit of green is the GAA pitch. So it's not just an area for people to go and play. It's kind of a social area. It's their sense of community and identity, and they miss that as well. And look, it's the same in the cities as well. Like, they, you know, the GAA is as much as a part of the identity for so many people up here, Eamon.
Yeah, and that's a really valid point. From the rural point of view, of like, definitely people getting out and seeing one another and playing, that where they haven't had as probably as much social interaction as someone like we have in Dublin in the cities, where we're kind of still meeting people on a regular basis. So I think from that point of view, it's important that people get back communicating and like talking to one another, even if it's not the physical element, but some sort of interaction for the rural area. And then that identity piece, like, you're known for your club, you're in your local parish, and I think that's a big part of it as well, that people just want to get back to some levels of normality and into some rhythms and routines that they're used to. And that's obviously going to the club, being involved in matches, getting the gear ready for kids' games, whatever it is, but it's that normality that we all crave.
So, Eamon, what's life like for you then away from sport? Because I know that you are in business, and the hospitality industry is where you work, and I've been in your bar Hucks, and you do lovely pizza, and I'll go back when you reopen. So how have you been affected by this?
Well, I'm kind of on the other side. I've been affected, but I've never been happier to be at home with my 14-month-old daughter, because, you know, I've missed so much already. To spend the time with her has just been incredible. Now, that poses a lot of challenges as well, in regards, like, I'm working full-time with Coca-Cola, and my wife's working full-time as well. She just went back to work 2 weeks before we went into lockdown. So that, my days are usually spent on Zoom or Microsoft Teams calls, and then all evening on email. And the fact that I'm studying my master's part time, trying to play football, trying to make sure the staff are looked after in the bar, and a few other things as well. Like, you know, so you have to try and find things that work for you, and you have to try and find time in the day to make sure you're prioritizing what needs to be prioritized that day. But for me, it's just like getting through till Friday at 5 o'clock, and then, you know, you're kind of in a different position then to be able to kind of unwind and put the laptop away and just zone out for a day or two.
Eamon, are you still DJing? I know you used to play a bit in Coppers. What people wouldn't give for talk about social distancing.
He does podcasts now. He's all grown up.
There you go.
No, the only thing I'm DJing in now is kids' music songs just before bedtime. So a bit different, but still as messy as Coppers.
And the podcast must be keeping you busy as well. You've put out some great ones over the last few weeks.
Yeah, it is. It was actually, I'm really enjoying it because I'm obviously just catching up with my mates. And the last episode with Pat Gilroy, like anyone who's ever spoken to Pat Gilroy one-on-one, you'll learn something from him, even if it is just from a 5-10 minute conversation. And to have an hour with him just to kind of go through all these questions that I wanted to ask him over the years was amazing. So, yeah, like for me, it's catching up with friends. And like it's a 45-minute show, but we probably spend about 2 hours on Zoom just talking chit-chat as well. So like, I'm enjoying it from that element. And I think from people's point of view, like, they just want to catch up and listen to their stories, not as much about what happened on the pitch, but more so off it.
And where can we find it?
It's on Dubs TV. So it's on their YouTube channel. And just go to their social pages and it'll be all over there.
Eamon Finnell, thanks so much for joining me. You have got me looking forward to the Dublin Football Championship, though. It's not a good thing because we've no date, but thanks a million for joining us.
Cheers, thanks. Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Donegal, get more good news. The Premier League have decided that they are going to show all 92 remaining matches. They're going to be broadcast live in the UK by their existing broadcast partners. So Sky Sports, BT Sport, BBC Sport and Amazon Prime, that is the summer sorted.
I actually think that's vitally important as well, that people can see it now, isn't it? Like, we need live sport.
So if the weather turns bad, it's grand.
It'll be fine. We'd actually be praying for bad weather. This kind of good weather is going to kill us. Keep us inside. I know one man that's quite happy to be back watching sport over in the stateside, and we're delighted he joins us now. Jeff Shepherd, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are y'all?
And good. Shep, there's great excitement around because we've heard the Premier League is making a historical move. 4 live games on BBC. So sport is getting back, but it's getting back to the masses.
Yeah, it is. It is great, guys. It's kind of almost like, you know, all these leagues were waiting for someone to kind of jump out and just be first. You know, the NHL over here, the Hockey League in the United States and Canada, you know, they've been kind of really the first ones to really be out there and say, we want to, you know, kind of get together in a couple of cities and get everything done. And then the NBA is starting to float these ideas, and now we're seeing that the Women's Soccer League is going to be starting up in June. And then, you know, the NFL's got a couple of months before their season's supposed to start, so they've got a little bit more time, but they've got to get into workouts. And, you know, the Major League Baseball seems to be the only one that's still really got the biggest issues. But, yeah, it's kind of like once we started to see, you know, some decisions get made and some leagues kind of put their, you know, just jump in there and go do it, the rest are starting to follow suit. I mean, we're seeing, you know, with NASCAR, I mean, they're racing a couple of times a week, and the television audiences are huge because people are just, you know, frothing at the mouth to have some live sports.
Yeah. You mentioned that, Chip, the Women's Soccer League returning, and myself and Marie were chatting about it last night, returning to Utah, and it's going to be one venue and run the whole tournament out.
Yeah, so I think it's a smart plan to do that. You know, they'll have them play, a couple of, you know, kind of like round robin games and different things like that, and then you start moving into a tournament. I mean, I think that, you know, the leagues are forced with the decision, guys, especially here in the state, to say, you know, like the NBA and the soccer leagues and even Major League Baseball, I mean, do we go ahead and forfeit this entire season and we just concentrate on coming back later in the fall? Maybe we delay the start of next season. Or do we try to come back and come with a truncated version of, a couple of weeks of a regular season, then we go into the playoffs, maybe we end a little bit later, and then we start a little bit later next year? I think if there's a possibility that they could play this year, they're going to try to do it. But, I mean, you guys are seeing this just like we are. It feels like every day there's new information that comes out that dictates whether or not, you know, they're going to be able to do this. And the problem is like the Premier League. I mean, it's all in England. Okay, great. Well, these leagues are all in America, but the states are all very different. And so, you know, some of them are heavily impacted. Utah is a state that isn't really that heavily impacted because it's not incredibly populated. So, you know, you may be able to do things in a place like Utah, or Wyoming that you won't be able to do in Southern California or, God forbid, New York City, just because of the situation that those places are in.
Well, we have Cork's own Denise O'Sullivan will be playing for the North Carolina Courage, so we'll be keeping an eye on her. I got very excited earlier in the week when I saw that the NBA could be heading to Disney World. I was thinking, that's a perfect place to go on holidays. You've Disney World for the kids, then you've the NBA. I forgot about the social distancing. So what's the setup going to be like there, Shep?
Yeah, so that seems to be kind of like the leader in the clubhouse right now of all of the different ideas. The report that came out yesterday was, you know, they're trying to figure out how can they get, like, family members from the players, you know, down there and involved. Because, look, you know, if they play, I mean, let's say they play 3 weeks of regular season games and then they move into this tournament, or even if they go straight to the tournament and then there's, you know, the long playoffs. Look, I mean, the NBA playoffs are a 2 to 3 month campaign normally. I mean, I've had marriages that didn't last that long. But so it's going to be a long time that these guys would be away from their families, and so they're trying to figure out ways that they can kind of get them there as well. And so I think if they can sort that out, that each player might be able to have 2 or 3 family members, and again, the social distancing and the doctors on site and all of the things that we're going to have to do and have to accept in the near term to get sports back, I think if they can come to that agreement, I think there's no doubt that the NBA is going to start up. And Florida's already said, as soon as you're ready to go, we'll take you.
Yeah, we saw it in The Last Dance when Michael Jordan was recording Space Jam, how they used and set up a scene for him there. And when you look at what the Premier League are doing, like no games are going to go away. It's just going to be really busy. Friday night games, 4 games on Saturdays, 4 games on Sundays, games on Mondays, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
All the time.
It's going to be nonstop.
Yeah. You'll have it all the time, and you may not have it in a big, giant arena like you typically are used to seeing it. You might just have it at the rec league, and it's still going to be football or basketball or baseball or whatever it's going to be. I mean, it's still going to be that sport. It's just not going to be in front of 50,000 people.
Instead of spending money on match tickets now, we're all going to be spending money on big televisions, nice comfy chairs, subscriptions for all the sports channels. It's going to be mental.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume. Yeah, I mean, I don't play single stocks, but if you do, Netflix and ESPN and all those, I mean, those might be some things to look at in the near term, you know?
Yeah. Shep, thanks a million. We're just too happy today. We'll talk to you next week, Shep.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks a million. Donica, a quick text in for you before we go. No scrum, no rugby. Well done, Donica. Here. That's from Tom.
Absolutely. Quick reminder to Leaving Cert students, 10 p.m. Get those registration forms in, exam numbers, PPS numbers, phone numbers, emails. Get registered.
Leaving Cert.
Leaving
Cert. Forgot about that. That whole thing. Gosh, at least the Leaving Cert weather came.
Yeah, it definitely did. We have a night off tomorrow. Do you know that?
Thanks for telling me. I'd have just turned up.
Yeah, it's the epic summer kicks off. DJ Wax and Mo Kair are playing Urban Anthems, and then it's JJ and Jenny Green for the weekend, and Tracy Clifford and Dan Hegarty. Busy weekend. Keep it in the here on 2FM.
And we'll be back Monday.
Live across the nation, this is 42FM.